Whoever said that the drama's over? Nonsense! Somehow, the family of Shaul still has an effect of David, at least not in a direct way. There was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. Now, in Israel, which lacks large sources of crops and water, 3 consecutive years of famine is a disaster. David begged by Hashem, and he asked through the Urim v'Tumim, God, what's going on? And the Lord said, for Shaul and for the bloody house of his, in that he put the Gibeonites to death. What's the story with the Gibeonites? Well, here we'll see. The king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. See, the Gibeonites were not children of Israel. They were not part of the Jewish people, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had taken an oath to them in the time of Joshua that they would not kill them. Remember, the Gibeonites were the ones that deceived Yahushua, making believe as if they were really interested in becoming part of the nation. But regardless, they became under his protection, and they were assigned menial tasks in maintenance of the Mishkan. Now Shaul had sought to smite them in a zealotry for the children of Israel and for the Yehuda, for the other, basically the tribe of Yehuda, which is often referred to independent of Israel. Now, we didn't read about this till now. It's unclear exactly what did Shaul do to the Gibeonites. Maybe he killed them because he maintained they should be driven out of the land. Some sages say that the killing of the Gibeonites was a consequence when he slaughtered Nov, the king of Kohanim, for giving refuge to King David. When he destroyed Nov and murdered its priest, the Gibeonites were also affected, as most of them earned their living through tasks connected to the Mishkan. Anyway, the point is that he caused them a lot of havoc. David said to the Gibeonites, what should I do for you? With what shall I atone for the transgression that was committed against you, that you will bring blessing on the inheritance of the Lord? In other words, the Jewish people. The Gibeonites said to him, we have no silver or gold against Shaul or against his house. We have no monetary claim against Shaul at all, and we are not interested in compensation. In other words, money won't be good enough. And we would not have any man in Israel put to death. We have no claim against the nation as a whole, as was not their fault. David says, one second, yeah, but you're hurt. Something has to be done. What do you say I should do for you? They said to the king, Ha'ish asher kilanu, va'asher dimalanu nishmadnu misyatze b'chol gvei Yisrael. The man who eliminated us and who devised against us so that we should be destroyed from standing, and who wanted to prevent us from within the entire border of Israel, he's no longer alive. Only his descendants remain. Therefore, let 7 of his sons' descendants be given to us in revenge for those of us whom he killed, and we will kill them and impale them before Hashem in Giva of Shaul, chosen of the Lord. He referred to Shaul as chosen of the Lord. Now, question, since the Gibeonites consider Shaul their enemy and sought to slaughter 7 of his descendants, why would they call him chosen of the Lord? And the sages suggest that the Gibeonites merely said in Giva of Shaul, at which point a heavenly voice emerged and added that Shaul was no ordinary person, but rather he was a chosen of the Lord. The king said, if there's no other choice, I will give them to you. It looks like David negotiated with them, but there was nothing to talk about. The king had compassion for Mephibosheth, that lame son of Yonatan, because of the oath that the Lord had the Lord of the oath that David and Yonatan made with each other long ago. The king took 2 sons of Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, a concubine whom she bore to Shaul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, daughter of Shaul, whom she had born to Adriel ben Berzilai, the Mechole, obviously after David divorced her. He gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they impaled them on the mountain before Hashem. Now, just an interesting point. It was stated above that Michal had no children till the day of her death. Second, Adriel ben Birzilai, the Mecholite, was the husband of not of Michal, but of Merav, her older sister, as we read in chapter 18 in Shmuel 1. So the sages try to reconcile it by saying that Merav had passed away, leaving Michal to raise her children, and that's why they were called her sons, despite the fact that she was not their biological mother. But the fact is, they were descendants of King Shaul. Anyways, these were all seven were struck together, and they were put to death during the first day of harvest, at the beginning of the barley harvest, about the time of Pesach, about the time we're recording this. Rizpah, daughter of Aya, took sackcloth and spread it as a tent for herself over the rock of the mountain, and she slept there for a long period, from the period of the harvest until water dripped upon them, the corpses from the heavens. She did not allow the birds of the heaven to rest upon them by day and the beasts of the field by night. Basically, she protected the corpses of her slain sons, so that the bodies would not be disgraced. It was reported to David that which Rizpah, daughter of Aya, concubine of Shaul, had done. Her dedicated protection of the bodies of Shaul led David to think not only of the living, but the dead as well. He therefore sought to take action to preserve the memory of Shaul. David went and took the bones of Shaul and the bones of Yonatan, his son, from Yavesh Gilad. Remember, the Yavesh Gilad were the people who had stolen them from the square of Beit Sha'an, where the Philistines had hanged them on the day the Philistines smote Shaul in Gilboa. The Philistines had suspended the bodies of Shaul and his sons from a wall of Beit Sha'an, a Philistine stronghold, and Yavesh Gilad people stole the bodies for a good reason and brought them back to their city. He took them up from there, Yavesh Gilad, the bones of Shaul and the bones of Yonatan, and collected also the bones of the impaled sons of Shaul that were still in the fields. They buried the bones of Shaul and Yonatan, his sons, in the land of Benjamin, his ancestry, in the grave of Kish, his father, and they buried the rest of Shaul's descendants nearby. They did everything that the king commanded, that Shaul and Yonatan should be buried in a dignified manner, and Hashem acceded to the begging of the land. Therefore, once the Givenites had been mollified and the bones of Shaul and his family had been restored to their proper place, rainfall came back to the land. The chapter continues with another story. Obviously, it's not encompassing all of David's life. It's choosing various areas of his life and, you know, zooming in on them. There was another war of the Philistines in Israel, and David went down and his servants were with him. They waged war against the Philistines, and David grew faint. He grew weak, and his ability to stand firm was diminished during the battle. Yishbi of Nov, who was the offspring of the giant, the giants, the race of giants mentioned on several times in the Torah, obviously not a Jew, and the weight of his spearhead was 300 shekels in its weight of bronze. That's how strong he was able to hold this, and he was girded with new armor, said that he would smite David. He intended to strike David. He saw that David wasn't at full strength. Avishai ben Tsruya came to David's aid and smote the Philistine and put him to death. Then David's men took an oath to him, saying, "You will not go up with us to battle any longer. You will not thereby extinguish the lamp of Israel. We cannot allow you to be exposed." It was thereafter that there was another war with the Philistines in Gov. And then a character named Sibchai HaChushati, one of David's mighty warriors, killed Saph, who was also the offspring of the giant, some relative or brother of Yishbi. There was another war in Gov with the Philistines, and this time Elchanan ben Yare Orgim from the Lachmi family, from the place Beit Lechem, slew Goliath the Gitti. Obviously not the same Goliath that David killed a while ago. Maybe it was a common name. And the shaft of his spear was very large, like a weaver's beam. There was another war in Gat. There was a ferocious man, and the Philistines positioned him prominently in order to frighten the enemy. And the fingers of his hand and toes were 6 each, 24 in number. He too was born to a giant. In other words, besides being a giant, he had physical abnormalities. Yeah, so it made him look even more monstrous. He taunted Israel, and Yonatan, son of Shima, David's brother. We don't really hear about David's brother's children. All we heard about tonight was David's sister's children. But here is a nephew. smat him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell in various battles at the hand of David and at the hand of his servants.